Be in the house of the Lord this morning. Had church here last night, right? How many of you enjoyed the word of the Lord? Wasn't it wonderful? I tell you, it gets sweeter and sweeter all the time. The journey gets rougher and rougher, but the prize that's before us, it's worth fighting for to the bitter end. Somebody say hallelujah. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're awful glad to see them in the house of the Lord. Play some more of it, brother. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Well, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request this morning, if you will. I want to remember Brother Bobby Short in prayer, having hernia surgery on Tuesday evening. They're asking that we would pray for him. Brother Tracy, not feeling well this morning. I think he has a very, very bad kidney infection, so we certainly want to pray for our brother. I want to pray for Josh, Raquel, and Penelope Luna. Please pray for my dad, Gary Manuel, that he would have no more cancer. He has tests tomorrow, so they're asking that we would pray for that need today. Brother Jack Johnson is having a stress test tomorrow. Please pray for good results, so let's remember that. I want to remember Brother Bert Gravely. He had back surgery, is having some complications, so we want to certainly remember him in prayer. I want to pray for little Zoe Roncalli. She has a very bad cold and congestion this morning. There's a sister over in West Virginia. I believe her son had called Brother Lemuel, and we don't exactly have that name, but a sister over in West Virginia is requesting prayer this morning, so let's remember that need as we pray today. Sister Laura Krause says, I want to thank God for this wonderful church assembly and the word of the Lord that he is blessing us with here. Every time we hear, he speaks to our hearts and the souls of the gospel of Christ. He has met our every need. God greatly bless Brother Donnie and all the brothers and sisters at Christ. This journey just gets better and better, sweeter and sweeter all the time. And I believe we all could say, amen. Amen. Well, it's so good to know the Lord this morning and to know that he loves us and he has saved us. He has redeemed us and he's taken us to a better place. Are you glad about that this morning? Is Brother Buckles, he's here in the room this morning. I saw him over where is he at this morning? Right here in front of me. Had my glasses on, couldn't even see you. Come this morning, brother. Lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning. We know that the Lord knows all about it. We're glad to have our brother with us this morning, aren't we? God bless you. It's good to see you, buddy. God bless you.
I greet you all from British Columbia. I thought I'd come down here for some warm weather. It's colder here than it is back home. But not in this house. So glad to be here. So glad for the ministry that you have been blessed with. And I just love Brother Donnie and the ones in service here. And love all you brothers and sisters and appreciate you all. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful, Lord, for being ever mindful, Lord, of our needs. And Lord, last evening, Lord, as you laid it upon Brother Donnie's heart, Lord, how he could get right to the root of various needs and problems within the assembly, within my heart, Lord God. Lord, just grant us that ability to be able to not hold grudges and to be able to forgive, Lord, no matter what it is that someone has done or you feel someone has done towards you, Lord. Lord, if we could do that, Lord, then we know that as we approach you, Lord, that you will answer whatever it is that we have need of and answer our prayers. And Lord, I hold in my hands, Lord, these prayers that have been penned down. And Lord, I may not know all the brothers and the sisters and the names, but Father, I can certainly appreciate that they're part of a greater family, Lord. They're your children, Father, and you are, as a father, ever mindful, Lord, of what is needed. Lord, I said you'd remember Brother Jack, Lord, as he would go for the stress test. Lord, many years ago, Lord, you had me in that very same situation when, Lord, the transport doctors, Lord, were concerned about my heart, put me through stress tests to determine. And Lord, you answered prayer, Lord. Lord, you met my need, Lord. I just pray that you would meet Brother Jack's need, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, this one with a kidney problem and condition, Lord, we ask that you would just come down and touch him, Father. Lord, the one with the back, Lord, one with a cancer, Lord. We know, Lord, according to the message of your prophet, Lord, that We should not fear cancer because you have the answer, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. We thank you for dealing with our individual hearts, Lord. Pray that you would just come now and meet us, speak to us, Lord, this morning in this service. Lord, we just commit all things unto you, asking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us today, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service today, may God richly bless those folks as well. Got some an announcement to make for you this morning. Got some special friends with us from over in Hickory, North Carolina, from Brother Barry Coffey's assembly, Brother Keith Buchanan, Sister Shirley, and I don't know who all is with them, but if whoever is here for that assembly, we want to welcome you to the service. They're going to be singing for us this morning, and I know you're going to be looking forward to that. So let me make this announcement. We'll go right into the service. Sister Ivy Blair wanted me to announce this. You can contact Sister Ivy Blair, Sister Sarah Carroll, or Sister Alicia Babb. When Sisters Share Fellowship is the title of this. All sisters invited, ages 18 and older. Bring a salad and rolls or biscuits for 4 to 6 people, plus a bottle of water or your own drink. 7 to 8:30 p.m. Tuesday, May the 21st, 2013. Please sign up in the library if you plan to come. All are welcome. Fellowship Hall, I guess is where they're going to be having it. No child care will be provided. Good time or a good bonding time for grandparents or husbands with the kids. Well, that's questionable. I'll tell you that right now. But we'll read it as it's written. But I'm not going to sign off on that last statement I read. But anyways, that's the announcement. So we'll be making it probably again, and hopefully we make it right 2 times in a row. All right, let's sing a song this morning. Are you glad to be in church?
Amen.
Look at somebody and say it's good to see you this morning. Praise the Lord.
Play a little bit of it, brethren. That sounds like old.
Yes.
song this morning. Just, Brother Keith, if you all want to come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing for us, let's sing just a little bit of this song this morning, if you will.
I believe He's coming back like He said. I believe the trumpet's going to sound so loud. He'll resurrect that day. In the twinkling of an eye, He's going to split the eastern sky. And I believe He's coming back.
As you're seated today. Now, Brother Keith and Sister Sarah and these youngins and Sister Shirley, Brother Harold, Brother Brian, and I don't know how many more of that family left us a few years ago and went to Hickory, North Carolina. And I'm sure that they enriched that assembly by being there. We found out last night we can't hold grudges. We're not through pouting at you yet, though. We're trying to get over that, so maybe we'll get over pouting at you, but we're certainly glad these kids and Brother Keith and Sister Sarah, well, from that high. And now they're bigger than he is. But we're sure glad to have them this morning, aren't we? Give them a nice hand as they sing for you today.
Certainly good to be here with you all this morning. It's always good to take a journey to the homeland. I do bring greetings to everybody from Brother Barry Coffey and the saints there. I talked with him a little bit this morning before we came over, and he said to be sure and tell everyone hello. And we certainly do love you all over here. And it's just, it's hard to believe that it was about 10 years ago this month that the first time we stepped on this platform here with this young man here and bribed him to sing a song with us to get to play with a train. And 10 years later, he's got a burning desire for the Lord, and God has truly blessed me with my children, and they love the Lord with all their heart. And we're just thrilled to be here with you. And we want to do a few songs for you here. I'm looking forward to making it to that homeland. I'm ready to leave this place, aren't you? Amen. We just want to just ask you to pray for us and trust this will be a blessing for you.
This world, it never gets no better. Seems like I've been here forever. Everything after a while just seems the same. So it's time to be up and going. I can feel there's a wind blowing. I'm ready to move, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to move on up to another dimension. And I'm ready to change. Relocate to another location. Don't hold me here no more. I'm already out the door. I've got the Holy Ghost here. everything that I need is in order. Ready now to cross the border to a brand new country, right and fair. Well, I hold a little revelation. This body's gonna see a translation. Moving up to a mansion in the air. Move on up to another dimension. Relocate to another location. Hold me here no more. I'm already at the door. I've got the Holy Ghost here to prove, and I'm ready to move. Oh, I'm ready to move. Go up to another dimension. I'm ready to change and relocate to another location.
This morning.
They all walked away with nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that was said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they'd see. Now that he was dead and gone,
garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail. How could a night be so long?
The angel, the star, the from afar, the wedding water, the wine. Oh, now it was done. They'd taken her son, wasted before his time. Oh, she knew it was true. She'd watched him die too. She'd heard them call him just a man. Oh, but deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again.
Aren't you thankful for that resurrection morning? You know, the world celebrates Easter one day a year. We as bride, we can celebrate it 365 days a year. Amen. Amen. I love Him so much. We want to do one more for you and just want to leave you all with good news. You know, it's just a little while of this battle and we're going to be leaving this place. It's been worth every mile, Brother Tim. It's been worth every battle. Amen. I love Him. Just a little while and we'll be going home. Amen.
For so many years we've heard it, how that Jesus would return. How we come again, fame is old. There's excitement all around us, there's just something in the air. Just a little while, we're going home. Just a little while, we're going home. Just a little while. The river flowing from its mighty throne. Just a little while, we're going home.
Now the signs are all around us. It should not be very long. Soon we're going to sing redemption song. There's an angel choir assembled. There's a banquet table spread. Just a little while, we're going.
Y'all, Brother Keith, nice to see y'all again. I remember them two young'uns there used to be little bitty old things. Looks like we're all getting older, don't it? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, if you would, today. What a privilege it is for us to be gathered together in the house of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now listen to this verse 29 from here. We'd like to draw a thought this morning. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What a profound thing that we have the ability to minister grace to people who listen. That's not only just to other people, but to yourself. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouths, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So you mean a person can have the Holy Ghost and be sealed with the Holy Ghost and grieve it? Right? So this followed what verse? Verse 29. No corrupt communication. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we count it an honor and a privilege by which we can come together today in this place. We know it's your grace and your mercy, Lord, that has drawn us together, opened our understanding to what you've done for us in this day. We ask for your help, Lord, in this service, and we present ourselves. And Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that there's many, many things about us that needs to be worked on and needs to be changed. But we submit to you. We submit to the great potter who's able to place us up on his wheel and shape us and mold us. Take your word today and speak to us, Father. May we be better people once we come in to the end of this service, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I'd like to speak to you. You may be seated. Today from verse 29... on two words, corrupt communication. Corrupt communication. The word rendered corrupt means bad, decayed, rotten, and is applied to putrid vegetables and animal substances. So here Paul is telling not only the Ephesian church, but every believer down through the age that would ever read this, that they would not allow corrupt, putrid, rotten words to come out of their mouths. Now, this is not just necessarily vulgar language or something like that, that many Christians would never say anyway. But if you look at the word communication, it's quite surprising. It is logos. Logos. So there is a way, look what logos means, speech, word uttered by living voice embodies a conception or idea, what is declared, a thought, a declaration, a weighty saying, a continuous speaking discourse or instruction. So then here we look this morning and see that there is a way, a means by which Christian folks can let corrupt, rotten, putrid, things which should never be spoken by a Christian, be able to be logos, which is the thought or their concept. Now, this is not the logos of the day, the message of the day, but it is their personal logos. It is what they think. It's what they are. It's who they have become by continually feeding on a diet that is contrary to the word. Then when they feed on that, whether there's questions about this or that or the other, or unbelief, or just being down on themselves or down on other people, then that becomes the mandate of their life. That becomes the course by which they will set. Then when it does, they think about it day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, and they actually become conformed to that mandate. Then that mandate becomes corrupt. Then as they talk about it, they think about it, they will no longer just become an individual that will be corrupted, but most of the time that will reach out and begin to corrupt others. If it's man or the woman of the house, mother and father, many times it can begin to corrupt the children. If it's a husband, it can begin to corrupt the wife. If it's a pastor, he can begin to corrupt the church. If it's an individual on a workforce or a boss, then that boss can begin to corrupt the folks who work under him. If it's one in a family, a very strong member in a family, then that member will begin to pulsate all of this corruption, and it has the ability to corrupt the entire family. So the whole family becomes of this mentality, and this becomes their logos. This becomes their mandate. This is the decree then of that home, that church, or that family, and this is what they think about. Now they go to church and they still believe the message, of course, and they love God with all of their hearts, but yet their mandate has now been changed from what really Christ called them to be to another mandate. It is still logos because it is a thought or a concept, but it is a concept that is contrary to the word. So instead of it being words of life and words of healing and words of virtue and thoughts of purity and thoughts of holiness, it becomes on how bad everybody's done me and there ain't nobody living right no more. I'll tell you one thing, it's rotten, it's sorry. That's a person with corrupt communication. Now we realize there are more evil people in this day than there's ever been before. Y'all agree with me on that? Sin is in a greater state than it's ever been. Darkness is greater than it's ever been. But let's just not focus on that side alone, because light has never shone as bright as it's shining this morning. There has never been as much truth. There has never been as much of the mandate of God as there has been revealed in this hour. So it really depends on which one we're going to focus on. So here Paul then warns the Ephesian church. Now remember, this is one of the deeper churches in the New Testament. They were able to receive great things of God. They were able to understand election, predestination, many of the mysteries of God that the Corinthian church could never understand. But in this Ephesian church, even though they were a deeper church, as we would say, yet this deeper church also needed to be taught how that men would love their wives. Isn't that strange how sometimes deep people don't understand the very simple things of the gospel. Whenever it come to the women there at the church, they had to have an understanding of how they were to be subject to their husbands. Yet they understood such great deep mysteries of God. And here when you come now to them being able to understand on how to talk about the things of God, the great deep things of God, apparently there was a lack among them as far as being able to understand a communication in what to say and what to convey about what God had done. Now, you look at us today, no doubt there's different degrees of us as we sit here in this assembly today. People have been serving God for a long time, people with different degrees of understanding. But you wonder if God would be able to search His, put His great searchlight on each of our hearts and look down inside of us and see what communication projects out of our very being. Not only our soul, but our mind, our spirit, our body. What we talk about, what we sing, is it corrupt? Is it pure? Is it that which can be able to create from the tree of life? Or is it something which would violate? Is it something which would actually grieve the Spirit of God by thoughts that are so negative and so down and so contrary to what God says? God said He loves you. God said He cares for you. And you don't think He does. So you constantly communicate this mandate. God don't love me. God don't care for me. God's better to this man and that man and that man. That He is me. That is corrupt communication. It is corrupt. And it's just like a rotten mater or a rotten tater or a rotten whatever more. Well, you know how that smell, you sisters ever have those vegetables in your pantry or whatever more, and you leave a potato in there and you open the door one day and you begin to smell something that don't smell exactly right. It smells a little funny. And then you go through the pantry and you go to looking and you find something laying down. Maybe it's in the very bottom and it's a rotten potato. And you go to digging it out. Now that potato at one time was good and it could have been edible, but you sure don't want to eat it now, because it's got all kinds of juices that are coming out of it, and it's become putrid, and it stinks, and it smells, and there's a proper place for rotten taters and maters, and that is in the garbage. And there's a proper place for rotten communication, that is in the garbage can. It's not to be out of our mouths, it's not to be in our spirits, it's to be where it belongs, and that is not in the Word of God. Now, I want you to notice here as Paul deals with this, and then he comes down and says that by this, people have the capability of being able to grieve away the Spirit of God. Now, let me remind you of this, so scientifically how that we're made up. When we put, what we put into our mind affects the chemistry of our brain. When we put positive things, you push the chemistry in a positive direction. When you put in negative things, you push it in a negative direction.
Now listen, I don't care how much Holy Ghost you've got in your soul. It is not the pulsation of the Holy Ghost in your soul that will push the negativity or the positivity of your brain. It will be the thoughts that you think about. Now watch this. Your brain has billions of neurons, brain cells, and trillions of connections between these neurons. Brain cells are not physically connected directly with each other like the wires in your house or car. The neurons are connected indirectly through special chemicals called neurotransmitters. When one brain cell talks to another, it sends the message using neurotransmitters. The sending cell releases a tiny packet of chemicals that carries the message to the receiving cell. Now he said, Brother Donnie, I'm a Christian, but you're still made up this way. This happens to you billions of times every day. That's right. The scenario repeats itself trillions of times each day. The amount of distribution of the neurotransmitters is critical to the normal functioning of your brain. Every thought that you think is embedded at some level in the chemistry of your brain. So thoughts then are more than just passing, fleeting things that come through and they don't affect us. Now, it's up to you whether or not those thoughts will become embedded and you will give them a portion of that precious garden space in your mind. And there you will begin to fertilize. You will begin to nurture. You will begin to water those thoughts. And those thoughts will become who you are. Or when those thoughts go through that are contrary to the word, you rebuke them, call them a lie, and send them right back to the devil. But it's entirely up to you. Now watch. The distribution and balance of neurotransmitters in your mind vary with your mood and patterns of thought. One type of brain chemistry is associated with depression and negative thoughts. A different type is associated with a positive state of mind. Now you think how that God so made us that our thoughts have the ability to trigger certain chemicals that release in our brain and from that can affect our mood. Have you ever got up one day and just out of the blue, you was in a different mood than you were the night before when you went to bed and you have no idea what triggered it. You have no idea what happened to you, but yet something inside of your body began to affect your mood. Maybe it was a dream that you had at 3 o'clock in the morning, which only lasted 15 seconds, but yet it so affected you that when you woke up the next morning, it buried there in the subconscious and it affected you and left you with a worried type of feeling. And it affected you all day long. Now, where did that come from? That come from the subconscious. It impressed in upon the mentality of your mind and your mind began to contemplate it. Maybe you dreamed you were smoking or you dreamed you'd done something wrong. And that infects you the entire day or maybe 2 or 3 days. And you think, how in the world could he do it? Because God made us up that way. But we have the ability to whether we want to let these things control us or we want to let them pass through and go on. And then we culture and we watch and we absolutely become a caretaker over what God has given us and we grow and fertilize and take care of the good things of what God wants us to become. Now, let us look today by the help of the Lord at some more affirmations that we want to add to our refrigerator door. Job chapter 17, verse 9. I like this one here. This is an affirmation that I believe is very, very helpful to every one of us if we can see it dealing with ourselves and dealing with our brothers and sisters, and that is, I'm a growing Christian. Maybe some of you all are already grown up. Well, I'm not. I'm still growing. I'm not perfect. I've not attained to perfection. I am a growing Christian. Now, you know, when we come to the house of God, I think it's very beneficial for us to realize this is a hospital. This is where the sick come. This is where the wounded come. There'll be folks that'll come in that's got all kinds of needs. If you're looking for a perfect church, I would advise you to leave right now because this is not it. There is no perfect church in the message. There is no perfect people in the message, but we are growing in the grace of God. Now watch what Job says. The righteous also shall hold on his way. He that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Now watch. We do not, when we become a child of God, even fill with the Holy Ghost. We do not become that child of God in perfect strength immediately once we receive the Holy Ghost. But we will grow in strength. We will grow in grace. We will grow in knowledge. We will grow in understanding. How many say amen? I've been serving the Lord. I'll be 57 in July if the Lord lets me live. And I've been serving the Lord since I was 12 years old. 45 years of my life, I've been living for God. Been preaching since I was 18. But you know what? When I look at His Word and I realize, the more I read it and the more I comprehend, the more I realize how little I do understand. Instead of looking at it and think, my, how much I know and how much I understand. The more I read and the more I understand, the less I know I understand. And the little that you perceive to realize how small it is in comparison to how great it is. So when you come to the house of God, you realize you are a growing Christian going to church with growing Christians. You're being preached to by a growing pastor. You're being administered to by growing deacons. You're being evangelists or growing evangelists. This message that was given to us was brought to us by a growing prophet. Psalms chapter 84 verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more. Now notice the path of the just is as a shining light. It comes from one stage of illumination to another. Friend, don't fault yourself and don't fault others that are around you because that you're growing and you're learning. I would rather have that attitude than I would a know-it-all that nobody can tell me anything. Now you know there's folks and preachers around this message that nobody can tell them nothing. I'd rather be a dummy than I would be somebody like that. Well, you didn't like that too well, did you? Notice in Matthew chapter 13, verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now, for those who have given, God has given them a portion of grace, understanding, revelation of his word. God will give to them even more if they will allow this abundance to grow inside of their life. So, Brother Donnie, when will we stop growing? When we're changed. When will I stop learning? When we're changed. When will I stop learning about forgiveness and mercy? When we're changed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. From glory to glory. From glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How many see things more clearly today than you did a month ago? How many see things more clearly than you did last night before service? Oh my goodness. You mean some of you have been serving God for 40 and 50 years and you're still able to be taught things? Wonderful. Wonderful. Amen. That means you are a growing Christian. Notice Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And the church said, amen. Notice another affirmation. I have deliverance from enemies. Now, unlike David, I don't pray God will cut their heads off. I'd advise you not to spend all of your time in the book of Psalms when you're studying on your enemies. Because it kind of leans toward grabbing out your double-barrel shotgun, your knife, your machete. You know, because David was under that aspiration of that hour and the inspiration. But when we come to the New Testament, we realize that God is not wanting us to pray fire down out of heaven and scorch them all up. But whenever you look at what God, the very concept of what God wanted the Old Testament people to understand, that in that way it was a natural battle. It was natural enemies, Philistines, Amorites, Hittites, and all of that. But today ours is not so much a battle of flesh and blood. But it is a spiritual battle, but God still wants to deliver us from our enemies. But sometimes, friend, it doesn't always mean that they'll die with cancer. It doesn't mean that they'll die in a premature death. It just means that God will deliver us from the effect that our enemy has upon us. God is not going around killing folks for your sake. Well, so-and-so wrinkled up his nose at me, and I pray a tree falls on top of him. I pray you get converted before you leave this building. Come on now. You're reading too much of the Old Testament without a balance of the New. Now, watch this in Exodus chapter 23, verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey my voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. And an adversary unto thine adversaries. Now remember, this is speaking to the children of Israel, which is an antitype of the bride, or the type, rather. But when God says, if those that stand against you, I will actually become their enemy because they are your enemy. I really feel sorry for the folks who's turning away from this message and becoming an enemy to this message. Do you see where that puts God? God, if they turn against this word and this prophet and this bride, it will throw God into the state that God will declare himself to be their enemy. Dangerous situation. Notice Leviticus 26:6. I will give peace in thy land, and you shall lie down. And none shall make you afraid. Oh my. I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Now remember, that was a natural land. Our land is our inheritance, the revealed word. Deuteronomy chapter 20 verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. So let's say today one of your enemies is migraines. Or one of your enemies is colon trouble. Or one of your enemies or some other physical something or some spiritual something. Is not God just as obligated as he was to a Philistine or an Amorite or a Hittite? 2 Samuel 22:4. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So I shall be saved from mine enemies. I feel sorry for the United States government. If they ever set laws and regulations against this bride, I feel sorry for them. The Marines, the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, they ain't none of them can ever recompense when God turns against them. Come on, church. My. 2 Kings 17:39, but the Lord your God you shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Psalms 18:3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Psalms 18:48, he delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent men. I like this affirmation to go with that one. His presence is with me. Now listen to me carefully so you don't misunderstand. The presence of God is not the same as his anointing. God can anoint a person whose soul is wretched and vile, but that does not mean his presence is with that person. Now the anointing is a spinoff, if I can say it that way, from the presence of God. And a person can be anointed as false anointed ones will in the last day. They can be anointed to pray for the sick, preach the gospel, do various things. And then you can even sense that anointing on them. But that does not mean the personal presence of God is with that individual. Now remember, personal presence is the vindication of God being identified with certain ones. But the anointing is like the rain that can fall down out of heaven on a good seed, on a weed, on a thorn, on a thistle. But that is not his personal presence of the conveying of the revelation of his face. You see, the presence of God is made known by His face, which is poneia. Comes from the same word as our name or reputation or character. So the very face of God, what do we see when we look into the face of God? The presence of God is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. It's not revealed in signs and wonders and miracles, though we thank God for those things. But I don't just want the anointing. I don't want to just feel the presence of God. I want His presence. Now listen to me. I have His presence even when I feel nothing. Now listen, this is important. It'll help you. I have His presence, the promise of His presence, when I feel no anointing whatsoever. Now listen to this in Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 8. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. Now not His Spirit, not something coming from the presence of God that will enlighten you or give you ability, but He, the personal pronoun, He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Psalms 31:19, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. So there is a place then where a believer can be hid in what is called the secret of God's presence. So a secret is something that is not made known to everyone, only to the initiated. So there is a place by which the recipients of this divine gift of God can be healed 24 hours a day. Will they get sick? They can. Will they get weary? They can. Will they get down? They can. But they still have that presence there with them. Even though in their trials, in their sickness, they may not feel one speck of the anointing. When are we ever going to learn we don't overcome the feelings? When are we ever going to learn that we don't overcome even by the anointing? Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion. A pavilion. For those of you that have been to our property over on the other road over here, we have a building there. We refer to it as the pavilion. There we gather. We eat. We fellowship. Out of the weather, out of the rain, out of the storms. That property is for church people use. It's not open to the city of Johnson City or Elizabethan. It's not open to anybody and everybody that wants to come through. It is a pavilion reserved for you. It was built with you in mind. It has your name as by association. This property belongs to Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. So there, you're able to go if you want to go over this afternoon after you eat your lunch and sit around under the pavilion by yourself or your wife. You want to stop and get you an ice cream, you feel free to do so. Because you are identified in that pavilion. Amen. So God has provided a pavilion by which those who are a part of the mystical body are invited under that pavilion for the shelter from the storms. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice Psalms 140 verse 13. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness. St. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, He will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. When Satan tells you you don't feel God, slap him in the face with this word and say, one of my affirmations is his presence is always with me. But you don't feel him. He never said a word. He just said it would be there. Whenever I feel him, whether I don't, that does not matter one bit. His presence is with me. Can't you see why he wants to convince you when you don't feel anything that you're left alone? Because he knows how we feel. Scared to death. Would you want to meet the devil this morning without the presence of God to help you? Is there anybody here that would want to meet Satan this morning without the presence of God? But what if you knew every day when you got up, every day when you went to work, everything you ever done in your life's journey, that presence was there with you. What could he ask of you to do? That would be too great if you knew he was with you. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he was said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now let's listen to another affirmation. I will not fear cancer. Well, you say, Brother Donnie, this ain't got no effect on me. I beg your pardon. Almost every mammal produces cancer cells in their lifetime, in their bodies. Now listen to this from Do You Fear Cancer, the little Do You Fear Cancer book. My dear friend, if you have cancer or have a fear of it, what a peculiar way to address this. If you have cancer or you have a fear of it. So both of these are treatable situations. And both of them need to be treated. Remember, there is a God-given healing. The fear of anything is often the reason we fall victim to it. Whether sickness or something else, the Word of God tells us not to fear or set our to set our mind on such things. I recently read in Life magazine an outstanding article on cancer. You mean to tell me a prophet of God writing in his book is going to refer to an article he read in Life magazine written by a doctor? And the church said, the medical doctor told of how people fear cancer over heart trouble and arthritis, which are far more painful. It was his opinion that the fear of cancer had engulfed the American people to such extent that it contributed to the fact of so many people are stricken with it. So you mean fear and cancer correlate together. They're insidious to each other. Wonder why the Lord didn't have Brother Branham to write a book on Do You Fear High Blood Pressure? Why didn't he have one to write one on Do You Fear Pneumonia? Do You Fear TB? Why would God direct him to go with this topic? Do you fear cancer? Do you, look at the title, Do You Fear Cancer? Notice this. They indirectly worried themselves to the place where they injured their nervous system. Can you imagine worrying yourself to a place that you actually injure the very thing that can keep you from cancer? And hurt their bodies in other ways. Surely if a medical doctor can reason that fear is an impelling force behind cancer, then we as Christians should realize all the more that we should not fear. But praise the Lord for His goodness and mercy, and let our minds rest and trust on the love of God and good things that come from God. Now listen to this. I have no idea who Brother Branham was referring to. But I know it wasn't this doctor that I'm fixing to read from because he wasn't born. Listen to this. The first thing that flashes through the mind of a recently diagnosed cancer patient is something along the lines of, I'm going to die now. It's sadly that simple, and it's that simple because that is what the public has been told. The relationship between fear and cancer, however, must be understood more clearly. Now I hope it ain't this way. But let's say tomorrow morning some doctor in Finland finds a total cure for every type of cancer. Think how many oncologists will be without a job. What about all the folks who administer and make and manufacture chemotherapy? Oh, you're getting quiet on me. Listen to what this doctor says. The simple fact is that cancer does not have to be a death sentence. Fear can very easily create the condition we commonly call cancer. Lord Jesus, help us. So my fear or your fear. My mama, as many of you know, died with cancer. Different family members of mine and of yours have died with cancer. So that makes it more believable that it could happen to me. The long-term effect of chronic fear on the immune system is extremely bleak because the results are extremely damaging. Realistically, mammals all develop cancerous cells throughout their lifetime, but they remain unaware of this fact because the immune system recognizes the threat and eliminates it. So if you don't know it, then your immune system, if it's all well and everything is working properly, it's attacking it, killing it, attacking it, killing it. But then if you get a symptom similar to what Aunt so-and-so had or your mama had or whoever more, and then we Google it, or Yahoo it, time you get done Yahoo and it steals your Yahoo. Come on, church, you know it's the truth. And then we go to categorizing ourselves. Oh, God, I've got stage one. Oh, Lord, I've got stage two. And a lot of us ain't nothing but bad gas pains. That's all it is. Just indigestion. It's just, you know, something like that. And if you're not careful, you will allow that devil to move on you by fear. He can't create it, but you can. He cannot create. But if he can take your fear and release your fear will create cancer. I would advise you to hit that door fast. Notice, the relationship between fear and cancer is basically the relationship between fear and the immune system. Chronic fear depresses the immune system. And then the immune system is not capable of dealing with the threat. So here God designed you after the fall, knowing sin would come, disease would come. So God built in our body this wonderful thing called an immune system. But if we chronically fear, then that immune system, the soldiers, the Marines, the Navy, the Air Force, we're crippling our immune system.
So instead of our immune system, there's a T cell there. There's this there. Attack it, attack it, attack it. I can't. I'm so tired. They're releasing all these toxins in their brain. And they're afraid every morning. They're afraid every night. I can't. I want to. I know I'm supposed to. But I can't do it. A day goes by. The cancer cells grow. Another day goes by, they grow. A week goes by, 2 weeks go by. And your body is calling, immune system, come and help me. Come and help me. And the immune system says, I can't. I just can't. I'm too tired. Their fear has paralyzed me. Lord Jesus. I'm convinced one of the greatest deliverances we need in this message is a deliverance from fear. Fear. Notice what happens. Chronic fear depresses the immune system. And then the immune system is not capable of dealing with the threat. The threat then blossoms and becomes cancer as we know it. The increased access to information over the last 3/4 of a century had caused the fear level of the public to skyrocket. Sometimes Googling your symptoms is not always the best thing to do. Maybe you should do a scripture search instead of a Google search. It'll give you a real Yahoo. Yahoo! Glory! Notice. So all of this information. And then if you've got a daughter that's a nurse, a son that's an RN, and all this, that, and other, and then they look at it, and if they're not careful, they see it when they work. And in their minds, they're now sorting through faith and symptoms. Oh God. Mama's got, and then mama's watching you. And she sees your eyes dancing in your head going back and forth, and she looks at you and knows you're not being totally honest. And your fear helps mama to let her fear get bigger. Lord Jesus, help us, God. Many things used to occur. Now notice this, on the other side of the world, which could have been cause for alarm. But because it took a week or more for news to travel around the world, however, we didn't hear about most of it. Now we have immediate access, detailed information about the smallest problem in a tiny village in Africa. Smartphones can be a great thing, but sometimes I wonder if smart people have them. Newsflash, MSN, Fox News, CNN, all this, that, and other. So-and-so happened, this happened. I mean, every second things can come across it. I wish we'd get some around the message somewhere. Newsflash, Jesus is coming. Newsflash, get ready. Oh, glory to God, bride. Newsflash, this might be the day the Lord comes. Fear and cancer are insidious together. The word insidious is something working together to entrap you. So fear and cancer work together because cancer is seen as a fairly random threat. While there are certain factors that we do control, most people view the threat as something that strikes people for reasons we don't understand and can't explain. Add this, notice, to the whole mix, the fact that cancer is supposedly incurable. The belief more than any other factor is responsible for the ravages of cancer in our society. So this simple belief of believing that cancer is incurable is more than the vapors from gasoline. More from this food and more from saccharin and more from this and more from that. The fear of it.
Right.
And once people hear, oh God, I'm going to die. I want to be buried in a pink dress and I want them to sing so and so. What are you doing? You have accepted. You have accepted. A lie. This belief, more than any other factor, is responsible for the ravages of cancer in our society. The medical community at large must embrace the fact that cancer is not incurable. It just isn't something the pharmaceutical drugs and hospital visits can cure. As soon as a patient hears that they have cancer, but it's curable, there are steps to follow. And we'll see an amazing turnaround in the instances of fatal cancer in this world. Now, this ain't from a preacher. This is from a doctor. And apparently, he cares more about people than a fat wallet. Praise the Lord. I will not fear cancer. Brother Donnie, what if you go to the doctor tomorrow and the doctor say you got it? I will not fear cancer. But you gotta die sometime. I sure do. But I will not fear cancer. And let me go one step farther. I will not fear death. Whether it is by an automobile accident or a plane crash or cancer or TV, I will not fear death. I don't have to. My Lord Jesus took the sting out of death for me. Despite all the progress we've made on cancer, a recent Harris poll found that cancer is the most feared disease in the U.S. 41% to Alzheimer's, 31%. Only 8% of Americans are most of the afraid of the leading cause of death in the U.S. Heart disease. Something about this picture don't make sense. I mean, I realize I ain't too smart. I didn't finish high school, no college degrees. But I have got enough sense to know there's something about this equation that just ain't right. So people by far fear the thing which kills less people in our nation, and the thing that kills them the most, 8% fears that. Glory to God. This is hardly new. 40 years ago, the National Cancer Act of 1971, which declared war on cancer, said cancer is a disease which is a major health concern of Americans today. And of course, when people read that on USA Today, that's fact. If they get it on the Drudge Reports, that is the report. If they get it from CNN, their smartphone tells them that's the way it is, that's the way it is. That ain't the way it is for me. Listen to this. Cancer is no longer the automatic death sentence it once was feared to be. From 1990 to 2010, the overall death rate from cancer in the United States has dropped 22% in men and 14% in women. How come you don't hear folks talk about that? How come you don't hear folks talk about how many folks in our assembly have been healed with cancer? That if you had accepted what a good doctor said with good intention and the best diagnosis that he knew, but yet you received another report from another doctor that said, if my Lord wants to take me, I'm ready to go, but I am not going to just lay down and roll over and let the devil take my life. We have learned that have been so mad about cancer allowing us to treat or even prevent some types that used to be fatal. But we've also learned a great deal about the psychology, listen to this, of risk perception and why our fears often don't match the evidence. So here we got even scientific reports that don't say what people fear, and yet they'll still believe it. We're pitiful. I said, we're pitiful. We are failing to use that knowledge to protect ourselves from the potential health risk of an innately subjective risk perception system. So God made you this way, that your fear, one of your strongest emotions, can so move in your being and release these chemicals. I stop somewhere. Oh, I know that. I know that. My grandma died with it. And my mama died with it. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I've got these cells. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh. Listen to this. Pool of Bethesda in 1950. In discernment. Brother Ben said, all right, sister. Don't worry about the cancer you got. Oh, wow. Don't worry about that cancer you got. Now, I wonder how that sister dealt with that. Now, you imagine, 1950, there were no iPhones. There were no droids. You imagine in their perception, in somewhat of a way, it would have been easier to believe and accept that one quote. We have to have page after page after page of scriptures and quotes and medical facts, and then we'll determine whether or not we believe. Because we're constantly under an onslaught by the media. Constantly under an onslaught of negative this and negative that and negative something else. You imagine in 1950. In some ways, ignorance is still bliss. Don't worry about that cancer you got. You just, is that right? You got cancer bothering you. Lord have mercy. I mean, it's sort of like a headache, you know, or a toothache, or you got a toeache bothering you, or you got a headache. It's bothering you. Lord Jesus. Cancer is bothering you. Y'all ain't getting it. You just ain't getting it. Cancer is bothering you. Not cancer is eating you up. Cancer is annihilating you. Cancer is going to take you to a grave. But cancer is bothering. Let me tell you the facts of it. Our brother Junior Davis today is being bothered by cancer. Other folks that we prayed for around the Word of God at this hour are being bothered. It by no means means it's going to destroy them. You got cancer. It's bothering you. But if you'll have faith, God will heal you. Is that right? Have faith. God will make you well. Notice, I took through the services of this week trying to show the people there's no need of being scared. The worst thing the devil can put upon you is fear. If you even had a cancer and didn't fear and believe God would heal you, you wouldn't be in too bad a shape. Can you imagine a doctor reading that, a doctor without faith, I mean, and you look at that and say, look, it's in here, it's in here, it's in there, the MRI, the CT scan, the PET scan, all these scans, and we look and say, oh my, there it is. And depending on which one you're going to look at, you're going to look at the PET scan or the MRI scan, or you're going to look at this scan right here, that if you've got cancer and if you didn't fear it and you believe God, you wouldn't be in too bad a shape. God take care of that. If you were sick, whatever it is, if you didn't fear. So fear is one of the worst things that Satan can place on the person. Fear is worse than the cancer. Fear is worse than the disease.
Because God can heal the disease, but he can only do it when you get rid of the fear. What's this again? You want to be made well, lady? You got a gallbladder trouble, haven't you? Not only that, you got cancer too. Isn't that right? You want to be made well? Stand up and say, I accept Jesus as my healer. God bless you. May the Lord God grant it to you. Thank you, sister. Go home and get well. Don't fear now. Walk right down the road of faith. Don't fear now. Walk right down the road of faith. Will all the symptoms be gone? More than likely not. Would she have to make more trips to the emergency room? She might. But you're still going down the road of faith when you're pulling up to the ER. I love this. When faith takes a hold, fear drops away. Faith's got big muscles and a hairy chest. When it speaks, everything else keeps quiet. Listen to this. Cancer has to shut up. Glory!
So you mean cancer's got a mouth? And cancer talks. But when faith speaks, cancer shuts up. When faith speaks, TV shuts up.
What will cancer say? You're worse today. It's bigger. It's growing. Your symptoms are worse. But let faith shut up cancer. I love this. I appreciate God's word, don't you? You've been somewhere. Notice this now in the world of vision. You've been somewhere. I see something going on. Looks like someone, like a doctor is working with you. Oh yes, you've had an operation or something. It's been in the throat. Yes, they took a tube out and put a plastic tube or something back in. And you're scared now, afraid that it's turning to cancer. That's giving you a lot of your nervousness. That's the truth. That's thus saith the Lord. You believe? Don't fear. He who's standing here now, who has risen from the dead, and it's the Holy Spirit talking to you. You know something's happened, don't you? The cancer worries. Oh. Now think, friends. Must have sweated it out. She didn't have cancer.
But she had a worry. So apparently esophagus or something, they took it out and put a plastic one back in. She didn't have cancer. But she started worrying about it.
Well, glory. In the name of Jesus, I tell you right here today, some of you that's had the fear of cancer, it'll leave you while you're sitting under this word. Ooh. Hallelujah!
If you believe this word, I don't care if your mama, your aunt, your uncle, your daddy, if you believe God's word. Hallelujah!
The cancer worry is over. Your face healed you. I want you to look at this. How strange. Her face healed her of the worry. She didn't have cancer. She had a cancer worry. But her face healed her of that worry. Oh, Lord Jesus. I guarantee one thing, there's more of us in this building today that need healing of our worries. Maybe you're not worried about cancer, but you're worried about other things. Let me read one more. Brother Branham has quite a long paragraph here, and he's speaking to the devil. I mean, just reading him his rights. I'll just read part of it. He said, I just taught these people that God is in them. He was actually speaking to the devil when he says this. I just taught this people that God is in them. And if God is in them, and they speak to that disease and say, be away from me. And don't doubt in their heart, right then, that disease has to move. For Christ said so. For it's not them that speaks. It's the Father that dwells in them that speaks. They're in need, so come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Watch this. Scientists are realizing through research into psychosomatic medicine how deeply the mind is involved in physical disease. Relaxation, meditation, and prayer are no longer looked upon as a questionable, but a real value in reducing anxiety by offering a means of attaining helpful and positive states of mind and consciousness. So some of you that won't listen to me, I keep telling you, you need to come to church. You need to pray and you need to read your Bible. You listen to it if a doctor tells you. Let me read one more affirmation and we'll close. This one might seem peculiar to you, but I want you to listen how the Lord God feels about you. He rejoices over me. Do you understand? There's very few things that God ever rejoices over. But I'm one of them. If we can grieve His heart, you believe that? Oh, sure. Oh, God, I've grieved you. I've grieved you. Why is it that our mentality is so filled with the negative things? God, I've caused you so much trouble. God, I've caused you so much trouble. God, I've brought such pain. I've brought such pain. Why is it we never look at the positive side? That sure we brought Him trouble. Sure we brought Him difficulty. But do you understand? He rejoices because of you. If God would ever come close to having a spell, it would be about you. Oh, glory to God. If God would ever cut loose in heaven and go to shouting, it'd be over His children. Notice Isaiah 62:5. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. You mean to tell me God gets happy? God rejoices over what? Angels, creation of the earth? Over you. Why do we let the devil warp our view of what we bring to God? And many of you, that's the only thing you associate. All I've ever brought Him has been trouble and heartache and sorrow. Put that under your feet today. You've seen me stand right here many times. Married couples. I've married many of them over the years. I never cease to be amazed by it as the young man standing at my left. He's always so nervous and jittery before we come out. I'm trying to calm him, if that's possible, since I'm as nervous as he is. Although I'm not the one getting married. But he'll come out and he'll stand there and he'll fidget and he'll move back and forth. And say, I'm afraid I'll forget something. I said, don't worry. I'll cover up for you. And I do. And he's standing there waiting and waiting, and the bridesmaids come by and the little girls come by and y'all laugh at him as they drop flowers and this, that, and the other. But his whole anticipation is standing there waiting. He knows what's going to happen. He's done went through the wedding practice the night before, so he knows whenever the doors are shut, the middle doors are shut,
And then the music has changed. And then they open the doors. And he sees his bride through those doors. Most of the time the lights are out out there. It's very dark weather. So all he sees is the brilliance. Basically the same thing that I see. He sees the brilliance of that white dress. And then she comes forward with her father, whoever's giving her away. As she comes forward closer and closer, the shadows dissipate by the lights in this room. And before long, amen, her face becomes visible. Her face is behind a veil. Every step that she takes toward this front, he's standing there, his heart is beating, and I watch him as her hands will flinch. And they're standing there, why? They are rejoicing over their bride. God said, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, you make me feel like shouting. I rejoice over you. You say, I want more than more scripture. Well, that's good. I've got more than one. Jeremiah 32:41. I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. And he will joy over you with singing. Lord Jesus. Did you all know that God sings? Now when he made the earth, angels sang. That's through creation of the Son of God on the earth. Again, angels sing. But when it comes to his elect, God sings. Reckon what he sings? Songs of condemnation? Songs of hatred? Songs of how sorry you are? He sings the original love songs. Wonder what God would sing. I imagine he sings different songs for different occasions. I hope before long he starts saying something like, come away, my love. Come away, my love. How I've waited for this day when I could give to you my new name. Eternity awaits us. Come away. But most of us, what do we think we've caused God? Tears, sorrow, regrets, pain, agony. You need to flip the channel in your thinking. And realize over you, he sings. He rejoices. You know how we feel in his presence here? And we wave our hands and we cry. We're in his presence and we're rejoicing. Can you imagine when God goes to rejoice in heaven, the angels just move out of his way and give him plenty of room. If God's going to shout, give him room to do it. And they said, what's he doing now? He's rejoicing over one of his children. They just got a revelation. They just got a revelation more of who there was.
When he had that preacher to preach that on Sunday morning, it dropped down in the heart that he not only thought about them of sorrow and all the pain, but it was revealed to them while they sat there how much he loved them.
Hallelujah.
let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. When you say, I'm rotten, I'm sorry, I'm no, you say, well, I am. Well, get saved then. Get straightened out. Get out of your rottenness and get saved. And then change the way you're talking. So that your communication can minister grace to other people. They can see what the Word is doing to you. And then you have the ability by your logos being changed to line up with the mandate of the day. Friends, why is it that Maynard and Whitfield and many of those men that lived from hundreds and hundreds of years ago never spoke about the bride? Why is it that Luther and Wesley and Pentecost and many of them through hundreds of years never spoke about the bride? And when God sent this messenger in this age, the bride understanding exploded. Because it's bride time. Every other age in the church ages was all named after a city. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Sardis. Except for this one. This last one at the end of Laodicea. And it's named after the bride. The bride age. They named after Johnson City or Elizabethan or Rome or, you know, Jeffersonville. It's named after you. So this is your time. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. This is your time, friends. Hallelujah. How many wants God to help your communication? Clean out our vocabulary, our thinking. Now remember, you cannot communicate words without them first being in your mind. Now be honest. How many of you have ever thought about God rejoicing over you? But how many of you have thought week in and week out, year in, year, I've caused him so much trouble. I've caused him so much. Can't you see why Satan wants us to believe that? So every time we go before God, we'll go before God as a bunch of beggars and slaves. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. So it's like you're begging for something. But we're to come before the throne of God with boldness. Not arrogance, boldness. Please don't think me sacrilegious. But this ought to help you today to go before the throne of God and say, Father, I want to come to give you a blessing. He didn't rejoice when he said, let that be! And the universe whirled out into space. The stars by the millions. When a saint of God gets a revelation of this word, or a person whose name is on this book can come to the realization of who they are. But the angels rejoice when you get saved. God says he's rejoicing when you grow up. Angels rejoice over babies. God rejoices over a mature bride. Praise God. I'm going to go ahead and go a step farther. In God's provided place of worship, Brother Bam tells us that we meet here in this house of God, where we are worshipped together. You see why that stumbles, folks? You see why that stumbles? See why message preachers don't quote that? Because of negativity, the way we look. Well, I know I'm worshiping him, but who's worshiping me? Duh. Who do you figure? Who do you figure adores you and loves you? You heard folks talk about a man, oh, he loves his wife so much, he worshipeth the ground she walks on. God loved me so much, he bought the ground I was born in. He didn't worship the ground, he bought the ground so he could give me a new body. But he adores me, he loves me. I make him rejoice.
You imagine how when preachers minister the word and it helps his people and the shadows flee away from their minds, how God must rejoice. She's seeing who she is. Brother Bam said when the bride recognizes who she is, the rapture will go. Not the rapture will come. I'm not looking for the rapture to come. I'm looking for the rapture to go. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, please forgive us. Most of these people would never say curse words. It grieves them to hear people take your name in vain. They have to work in public places and they hear cursing and it just grieves them so bad. And they would never use those words. But yet, Lord, on the way home, they'll use corrupt communication and say, I'll never amount to anything. I'll never be a good Christian. I'll never be this. I'll never be that. They go home to their children. They start on them. Always negativity. Never trying to uplift them. Never trying to brag on them. If they make one bad grade in spelling, they'll spend the rest of the night hounding them, overlooking all the rest of the good grades they made in the rest of the classes. And then we wonder why we are the way we are. Help us, Lord Jesus. And then preachers who will beat and thrash and beat and thrash and never bring things to uplift your people. Lord, help me. I know we have to be corrected. I know we have to bring words of correction, but help me, Lord, to always try to balance it out. Help me, Lord Jesus. Even your prophet said a man can preach the Holy Ghost to a place that he discourages his congregation because he can preach it to such legalism that if we can convince the people by quotes and scriptures till they ain't hardly nobody's got it, what good is that to do? Help us, Lord. Help me as a preacher. The corrupt communication will not come out of my mouth, but communication of truth and righteousness and exaltation and glory. My Father, I pray that you'd open our understanding to this precept, this concept, this mandate of God, that you rejoice over your people. And we actually make you sing. Hallelujah. I've told you enough times already. I've caused you sorrow and I've caused you this and that. Lord, help me. Help me that I can look at this other side. I've brought you joy. I have made you sing. How many times have I stood for what's right and I made you proud? How many times have these people stood for you on their job and their workplace? They were ridiculed and made fun of. Little did they know, you rejoiced. You rejoiced because of their stand. Help us, Lord Jesus. May they understand when we come to this place, we not only come to sing, we not only come to worship you, but we come to receive. We come to receive divine adoration from a divine God. Well, if you're here today and you want to adore me, I'm going to let you. It don't make no difference whether I say anything about me that's adorable or not. You do. Help us to quit looking at ourselves and say, if the Almighty wants to come down after the word has been preached and he wants to move his arms around us and pull us into his arms and make love to us and adore us, help us to be willing, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, I adore you, Lord. I worship you, great Adonai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, before we go, Lord God, I pray your presence would just be so welcomed, Father. Lord, many of these people don't need a new quote. They don't need a new tape that they found in Jeffersonville hidden somewhere, forgotten in an old library. What many of them need is to feel that divine touch slip around them. They don't need to fit under another preacher, go to another church. They need your touch. That divine inspiration of God to pull them in your arms and you begin to minister to them that personal love. Hallelujah. Lord, if there's some sick today, some afflicted, some wounded in their spirit, may you pull them into your bosom as it were, Lord God, and may you whisper to them, by my stripes ye are healed. Yay. Hallelujah. Lord, if they've got a troubled heart, may they hear you whisper, peace, be still. If they feel they're alone and forsaken, may they hear the words reverberate, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, as I always say it at the end of the wedding ceremony, as I look to the bridegroom and tell him, you may kiss your bride. He's looked at her, held her hands, smiled at her while the vows are being made, made his commitment to her. But more now, they're joined together. His lips can touch hers. Lord Jesus, we welcome you today. You may kiss your bride. Glory! You may come near us, Lord God, in divine presence. Rejoice over us, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, praise the Lord. Can we raise our hands, saints, in His presence? Let us rejoice now over His word, over His deliverance. My, He visited us in a special way here last night. So many people coming up to the altar. Texts I got after service. Texts I started getting today. Emails. Oh my. And yet He come and visit us again today in a special way, in a different way, but in a special way. Can't you see what He wants you to become? Can't you see what you can give Him? Can't you see He wants to rejoice over you? He wants to adore you. Take your hand as it was in His hand. Look you in the eye and say, I love you, my darling. I love you. Oh, hallelujah. Can you break down that negative thinking in your mind and let Jesus take you by the hand and say, I love you. I loved you before the world began. You were in my mind. You're the reason I died. You're the reason I rose again. I love you. I adore you. You make my heart rejoice. Oh, Lord, I'm unworthy. I brought so much. Shh, shh, shh. Not now. Not now. Don't say that now. Let me tell you how much I love you. Before there was atoms, molecules, electrons, or lights, you were in my mind. I rejoiced when I thought of you. I rejoiced when I raised from the dead. I bore the cross with you in mind. I rejoiced when you got saved. I rejoiced when you came to the Word. I rejoice when you've received the revelation of who you are. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We adore you. Let's raise our hands, friends, for just a minute in His presence. Don't be in no rush now. I know you got your dinner to eat and this, that, and other, but oh my, what's an opportunity like this worth? We're in divine presence. We're in the divine presence of the Almighty God. Can you believe that Lord Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee is right here today, right amongst us, ready to minister to your needs? But Brother Donnie, I failed him. Well, then let him be to you as he was to Peter, as he reached out his hand to Peter when he failed upon the water, but he didn't leave him there. He picked him up. Let him reach out to you today. You need healing, you need deliverance, whatever it is. Let him minister to you. Him personally, not me praying for you, not somebody else praying for you, but let him personally come near you. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Keep your eyes closed now. Keep your eyes closed, your heart just open. Meditate on him. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. To worship you. Yes, oh Father. Oh my soul. My soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. Hallelujah. In what you hear and see.
Make me a sweet sound
in your ear. Everybody now.
Oh God.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. You say, Brother Donnie, don't you get tired of praising Him? Well, in my body, yes. My hands get tired after so long of staying up. My voice, my throat gets hoarse. But I was just reading this morning where I came before I came to church in Revelation 22. One of my inheritances and yours. Is that the scripture says the Lord God will be the temple and the throne of the Lord, and the Lamb will be in the middle of the city there, in the midst of the city. And His saints shall see His face. Do you understand? Through eternity. I know it's almost more than our minds can even comprehend. Through eternity, you will be given the privilege to never have to leave His presence again. You say, what will we do? I have no idea. But I know it'll be so wonderful. It'll be so wonderful. Why would that mean something so special? They will see His face. Because we never got to see it here in life. Oh, but I'll tell you, every now and then I get a little glimpse of His glory like here today, don't you? God bless you. I'm going to let you go. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we consider it a great privilege that we have been invited to sit at the table of the King. Lord, I'm reminded of King David. Him and Jonathan were the closest of friends. Jonathan's life was taken on Mount Gilboa. David still loved him. Years after Jonathan had died, in an uprising, a woman had grabbed one of Jonathan's sons and she fell. And in the fall of this woman, Jonathan's son was made a cripple. The first woman on the earth fell. And when she fell in sin, she made all of us a cripple. But David heard about this boy of Jonathan's. So a message came from the King. Glory. They sent the message to this boy and said, King David has invited you to come up to his house. Oh, I imagine the human party was afraid and didn't know what in the world was going to happen. But it wasn't a sentence of death. It was a sentence of life. So this boy was to sit at the table of the King for the rest of his life. And be treated as royalty. We were crippled up in the fall too, Lord. And our minds and our bodies and all that, we still are afflicted in some sense by that fall. But we've been invited not by King David, but by King Jesus to come and sit at his table. We say, I sat there and he remained a cripple because David didn't have the power to change him. But the more we sit at the table of our King, the more faith we're receiving to get our crippled condition changed. And one day our King will change our bodies. Lord, hasten the day. We consider it an honor today, great King of eternity, that we in our crippled condition as we were invited to come and sit at the table this day and dine with the King. Go with your children. Now, Father, I pray that there'd be some things that would be said that would be able to help them in life's journey. If I could just make life a little bit easier for them, Lord, I want to feel like my labor has not been in vain. Go with them, Lord, and keep them. We come back again Wednesday night. We'll expect you once again to speak to us by your word. Lord, it's in Jesus' name that we ask it and for his favor. Amen. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God.
I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Yeah.